Good morning. It's good to be here this morning and to hear the Word of God discussed and taught. Enjoyed the service very much. The devotional and Sunday school. And I decided that maybe this sermon that I chose to preach this morning was somewhat related to these topics that we have been discussing. When I started studying for this message on the subject of worship, the title of the message is "They That Worship Him Must Worship Him in Spirit and in Truth." I wondered why. Worship seems to be so obvious. So much an obvious part of the Christian life. And we are told throughout the scripture to worship God, to worship Jesus, and to worship throughout the Old Testament and the New. And I wondered why, but I think I discovered the reason why. After evaluating serious Christian life and dynamics and righteous living required of a Christian, I decided that maybe the music we listen to or where we go or what entertainment we attend is secondary to the real issue, and that's of worship. Fidelity in worship is without question front and center, paramount, if we're going to make it to glory. At the bottom of every being's heart, every person's heart is a will. And your will make a determination of who you serve, who you follow, and what you listen to. It's your will. God hasn't put us out here with no direction at all. He's given us a will, and that will can be trained to serve Him or not. Over the holidays, we received some cards and see people that we once knew well, and we see that there's change coming. Many of them are departing from simple stranger pilgrim lifestyles. Underlying all conservative practice must be the central principle of who do we worship. It's not what we do, but it's who we worship. It is partly what we do when it comes down to it, but the most important challenge is who do we worship? There was once a woman in Samaria that place where the Jews hated, who was an attractive lady who was living in the fast lane of social life in the town of Sychar. She careened from one relationship to another, living a life that was semi-serious, but was always ready for the next bunch of fun and the next new friend. One day she was doing her work, went down to the well to get water. For her household. And she went to Jacob's well. And there sitting on that well-used well, was a man about 30 years old. He looked weary and tired. Little did she know that the weary stranger would teach her a life-transforming lesson. that would give her a new understanding about drawing water. It would transform her life. The next few hours, as she conversed with this man, this tired man on the well, Jacob's well in the town of Sychar, the next few hours were pivotal in changing her life to a new understanding of the living water. The man at the well expertly exposed her past life and gave her a path into a new life. She heard the command that they must worship him in spirit and in truth. This morning, I ask you simply and sincerely to evaluate your heart from the bottom of your heart. Who do you worship? Jesus cut through all, we're going to read the story. Jesus cut through all the clutter of her life, all the relationships and all the lies, and he got down to business right at the center. Who do you worship? There's a lot of confusion today, like we heard already this morning. There's a lot of confusion about what version of Christianity is the best. And how should we practice? And where should we come out? But underlying these questions is this important question of the will of your heart. And who do you worship? Let's turn to John 4. We're going to read the first 26 verses of John chapter 4. Verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, then Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Oh, there's a whole sermon in that verse, that short verse. He must needs go through Samaria. This morning, you must needs go through the service at Mount Joy on January 9 of 2022. God has something for you. He must needs go through Samaria. He must needs meet this lady. Maybe the next day she wouldn't have been at the well. Verse 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cameth a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples had gone away unto the city to buy meat. Isn't that an interesting little tidbit there in Scripture? They went into McDonald's or wherever to buy something to eat. And Jesus stayed out there on the well. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. There was a lifelong animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans. It was bitter, and it was strong. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? The whole world is asking that question today. They want fulfillment. When hast thou that living water is really what they're saying. I want to find fulfillment in life. I want to find meaning. I want to find life. When hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Critical kind of water. Everlasting life. Do you want it? Do you want it this morning? Do you want everlasting life? The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband. And come hither. And the woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said. I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. In other words, you know things that are not obvious. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto her, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, and this woman, I think, was startled with this. I that speak unto thee am he. Do you recognize Jesus? That's the question for you this morning. Is Jesus just the tired man on the well? Or is he the man that can give you living water? Trust you're asking the question this morning. Hast thou that living water? I want to look at what true worship is. Remember the title, They That Worship Him Must Worship Him in Spirit and in Truth. It's a requirement. It's a commandment. If you're going to have a relationship with the Lord, you're going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It is the big deal. It's the choice of your life. Who are you going to worship? We travel around and deal with and see problems in humanity. We wonder, haven't we taught them? Don't they know how they should live? What is the problem? Well, today I want to repeat what I said before, that it's a problem of worship, of who they worship, who they fall down before. And we had a good lesson this morning, and Isaiah 6 is all about worship. You know, Isaiah saw God for who He was, and he fell down prostrate before God. And this morning, I am asking you to do the same. We don't have time to get through all the things worship is this morning, but it's important that we understand some things about New Testament worship. Number one, and I tried to keep these subtitles very simple, true worship is internal. True worship is internal. It's inside. Jesus told the lady, "The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." In spirit. Your spirit worships God. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 through 16. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 to 16. But the natural man, 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Jumping down to verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Listen today. Unless you have come to that crucial decision of who you will serve, you're a natural man, and it makes no sense to follow Christ. It makes no sense to be obedient to the commands of the Scripture. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Dear ones, this morning, someone that has not changed his will is not born again. He sees these things of obedience is foolishness. They're nonsense. Huh, that's for the old fogies. But dear ones, this morning, true worship is inside and it's eternal, internal. And the heart you have inside says how you're going to respond to the commands of Scripture. It is not external rituals or performance, but it is an internal heart condition that fears God and is eager to do His commands. The external rituals don't say a thing. They only say that you want to fit into some kind of a culture. But dear ones, this morning, the internal heart condition that only you and God can see is of vital importance. It becomes the dynamic that motivates you and says what kind of behavior and entertainment and that you will engage in. And to have the spirit of worship is to be controlled by the teachings of Jesus and God's Word. We love the Word of God. We are passionate about that we execute the commands that we need to when our heart is changed, when our will is broken. True worship is internal. It's in the heart. It's not an outward performance. We come to the worship service. We come to worship, and we say that we come to worship. Well, really, the worship that is within your heart, you bring that along to church. And that's what makes the worship service. True worship is internal. The natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. True worship is internal. Number two, true worship is exclusive. True worship is in truth. Is exclusive. True worshipers must worship him in truth. God seeks people that want to worship him in truth. They that worship him must worship him in truth and in the Spirit. When the astronauts went to the moon, they depended on truth. They had to make a re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere going 17,000 miles an hour, and it was very important that they hit the atmosphere at the right angle. If they hit it too forcefully, the spaceship would have blown up and they would have perished. And if they hit it at the wrong angle the other way, they'd have scooted back out into space again. But the right, exact truth of where they hit the Earth's atmosphere was very important to the astronauts. We depend on truth. We depend on truth in many areas. Dear ones, I'm pleading with you to worship God in truth. Take your Bibles out and read it. Apply it to your life and live in truth. Truth is not ambiguous. It's not fuzzy lines. It's truth. It's clear. It's apparent. Truth. You know what truth does? Truth always takes you to the Father. Even scientific truth, if you would follow it, it would always take you to God. And truth this morning, spiritual truth will take you to the Father. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy 3:15. Paul was writing here, not quite sure what all the details were, but this morning as I studied for this message, this verse stood out to me. But if I tarry long, he was apparently away from the church that he was writing to, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. You learn behavior. That's what he wanted to teach them. Know thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. And then what does it say? The pillar and ground of the truth. Somewhere, somehow, the church asks you to live, the true church will ask you to live in truth and make some applications to truth. And it's called the pillar, Apostle Paul calls it the pillar and ground of the truth. True worship is exclusive. It includes the Word of God and the church and the Holy Spirit and God Himself. True worship is exclusive. It's not fuzzy line. It can't be two ways. But truth is important. It was important to the astronauts, and it's important to you. Because if you want to end up where you want to end up, you have to maintain a true course. You know, when you punch in the GPS, you need to maintain the true course or you won't get there. Truth is exclusive. Number three, truth is transparent. Truth is transparent. We know the story of the lady. She asked him, I want this living water. She asked Jesus, I want this living water. I want so I don't have to go to the well and draw water. That's what I want. I don't want that. I want this living water that wells up within me. I want that. And you know what Jesus did? What did Jesus do? Hey, go call thy husband. Woman, go call your husband. And then you come and talk to me. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus came back and said, thou hast had five husbands. Currently you don't have a husband. But you've had five husbands. Transparent truth will be transparent. It will expose your life. Like Dan said in the devotions this morning, it will expose your life, your sins, your worldliness, and the secrets of your heart. Truth will expose your life, your sins, your worldliness, and the secrets of your heart. The Apostle Paul's talked about preaching over in 1 Corinthians 14:25, and he said, through preaching, the secrets of your heart are made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. This morning, if there's things in your heart that you are holding out for, you will never find living water. You will never find living water, much less will you have it welling up to aid you through life. The word exposes the secrets of your heart. When we place anything that we hold dear above God's what God says, we are idolaters. Remember Saul? When Samuel told Saul to kill all that group of people, I forget the name right now, and the king was Agag. And he saved Agag and the best of the flocks alive and did all that. Did Samuel come to him and said, oh, you're smart for doing that? He said, no. He said, you were disobedient. And he went out and he took a sword and he slew Agag. Listen to me this morning. The Word of God will expose your heart. Don't resent that, but say, yes, Lord. Worship that will bless God. Worship that God will bless comes from a heart smitten by one's own sinfulness. This young woman, she was lying about who she was, and she couldn't come to find living water until that exposure took place. Her lies and a life of sin needed to be exposed. She finally said, come see a man, which told me things that all things that ever I did, is not this the Christ? Sin will never enter there. Worldliness will never enter there. True worship, founded on spirit and truth, will enter heaven. Fourthly, true worship demands the sacrifice of our humanness. True worship costs something. Oh, I'm so burdened with the current attitude towards religion that religion has married entertainment with worship. Religion is marrying entertainment with worship, and it's so wrong. True worship demands the sacrifice of our humanness. I beseech you, therefore, Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Jesus said, deny me, or deny yourself and come and follow me. That is the requirements of following Jesus. Come, but you need to deny yourself. Everything we are is on the altar. It must be presented to the Lord with our talents, our farms, our kitchens, our behavior, and our attitudes, and a whole bunch more. True worship demands the sacrifice of our humanness. There was once two men went up to the temple to pray. And the one was a Pharisee, and he prayed with himself. We know that story. Now, I never was an extortioner. I never was unjust. I never was an adulterer. I never was. And furthermore, I fast twice in a week. And I give money to the offering. But you know, the second man, the publican standing afar off, he said not so much as looked his eyes to heaven, but he looked down. And he smote his breast and said, God be merciful. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible declares that that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We are so prone to live and be governed by the standards of the people around us. But until your humanity gets up on the altar and you allow God to light the fire and get rid of all the pride and arrogance and yourself, as it were, you will not be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. Number five, true worship is receiving a clear word from the Lord. Jesus was blunt with this woman. Jesus was blunt with this woman a number of places in their conversation. He told her the truth. True worship goes beyond the preacher's ability to convey the truth. It is not muddled by the performance of the preacher or the talents of the musician or the talents of the singer that's leading in worship. But true worship is taken home to the Spirit by God. Worship will result in renewal of the mind and a passionate desire to obedience to the word and the doctrines of life and of the church. True worship overcomes the inability of the preacher. And when the word of God is spoken, it speaks to your heart. One time I was preaching, and I think I probably told you this before already, and there was a lady there in the congregation that was living in sin. And she called me the next day, and she said, I want to come and talk to you. So we sat down and talked, and I found out what the sin was. And I know it wasn't because that I had such an eloquent sermon. But the word of God spoke. That was years ago. Ladies had a journey of life, journey in her Christian experience, but at this moment, she's endeavoring to serve God. True worship is a clear word from the Lord. Clean up your heart, and you will be able to understand the word of God. Six. True worship will worship the Creator not the created. True worship will worship the creator, not the creator, created. Romans 1 talks about who worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The focus of all worship activities is the worship of the creator and deliverer from sin. Is our responsibility. Hebrews says that true worship is done in reverence and godly fear. True worship is not about ritual. It's not about performance. But it's about the connection of God speaking to the will and mind of your heart. True worship is not with men's hands. The Apostle Paul said, he said that God is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. You can try and worship with your hands. But the Bible bluntly says it's not worship. When your worship takes music, takes lighting, and takes talent, it's not true worship. One of the signs of apostasy is when we marry entertainment and worship. Throughout church history, the marriage of entertainment and worship has destroyed the church. Jesus is not one of many ways to worship, and there's not many ways to worship but in spirit and in truth. Dear ones, today, let's keep that in mind, that the marriage of entertainment and worship destroys true worship. Seventh and final point, worship is a lifestyle, not a moment in time. Worship is a lifestyle, not a moment in time. If you came to worship this morning and you go out those doors and the spirit of worship goes away, you don't really have worship. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Worship is a life. It's a lifestyle. It's not a ritual. It's not a place to attend. Or a performance. It's a life. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Dear ones, has your heart been changed? Has your heart been changed? Has it been transformed into the image of Jesus? And is the living water springing up within your breast, your life, giving you sustenance, giving you water for the ongoing needs of your life? Here's how. Worship him in spirit and in truth. And then you will be. Really, you could ask this question this morning. The title of the message could have been, are you a Christian? Thought about doing that, but are you a Christian? depending on God for your spiritual strength and sustenance? Are you reverencing him in godly fear? Is your heart connected with God through the Spirit? Or are you trying to impress people with how you do it, how you worship? It's a critical question. And it's so profound in the outworkings of all the Christian life, is the crux question is this: do you worship him in spirit and